Amen. I want to share something. I went this past Thursday to a doctor in Louisville and had an EEG. That's what it is when they check your brain. And I had an EEG because back last year in February when I had open heart surgery, they thought I had a seizure when I came out from under the anesthesia. And so they followed the seizure protocol, and they put me on an anti-seizure drug. And so I've been on it all year, and I had seen the doctor back about mid-year, and he said, well, we'll go 6 more months. At the end of the year, we'll do an EKG, and if the EKG doesn't show up anything, we'll wean you off the anti-seizure medicine. So we went Thursday, and they did the thing, and I looked like somebody from a science fiction movie when they got through putting all those things on my head. But they did. It took about an hour. And got finished, and the lady that was doing it, the technician that was doing it, I said, I know that you can't tell me. You're not supposed to tell me whether it's good or not. I know that, so I'm not asking you that, but I said, what do you think? And you're not officially telling me, but what do you think? And she said, well, I've had an EEG, and I wish mine looked as good as yours. I said, thank you. It's all you need to say. And so I got called the next day from the doctor, and they said, there's absolutely nothing there. We're going to get you off the medicine. So now I had to cut the medicine in half and take it. I have to take it for a week, and then I'm done. And while we were up there, we went to Laverne's brother, Junior's, and his wife, Barbara, went to their house. Visited with them a little while, had lunch with them. We were getting ready to leave, and we were talking about things, and he said, you know something? He said, I'm just going to share this with you. He said, you know, it's good to see you up and out. It's good to see you looking like you do and up and getting around like you do and functioning like you do, because he said, I'll be honest with you, some of those times when I came down to the hospital and I saw you laying in that bed and I saw what kind of shape you were in and I knew what you were going through, he said, I really doubt that I'd ever see you like this again, where you would be up and alert and getting into everybody else's business. No, he didn't say that. But he said, I sure did send up a lot of prayers for you during that period of time. I said, well, I appreciate it. And he said, it's so good to see you looking like you do. Now, your next year is up to you. I want to read a scripture, and you're all familiar with it. I had it marked, and then I unmarked it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. After today, 2017 will be history. And nothing in 2017 can go back and be changed. Now we might make up in 2018 for something that happened in 2017, but you can't change what happened. So 2017 is history. As a matter of fact, everything in your life right now from December the 31st, 2017, backwards, everything in your life is an old thing. Everything that went wrong is gone. Everything that you enjoyed is a blissful memory. But it's gone. And I'm telling you, there is one thing that it's hard for humans to do, and that's to forget the past. It's hard for us to forget the things that we did that were dumb. The things that we did that were really, really unnecessary. We shot in that direction and hit something back here. Forget it. Tomorrow you have an opportunity to start another year, 2018. I can remember reading an article, and you know, a lot of people out here, and particularly Bible scholars, they try to figure out all of the dates of everything that's going to happen, and you know, when Jesus is coming back, and when the end times are coming, and all of that. And I can remember reading something, and I don't remember who wrote it, but they were giving their opinion based upon some information that they thought they had. Now, if they were correct, according to their calculations, the best chance we have within recent times of Jesus coming back in the year 2018. And I remember when I read that, I thought, well, three, 4 years away. Maybe it was 10 years. I don't know what. Last 7 years kind of all kind of crushed together into one little ball of time, and I can't figure out how big a ball it is. But now let me tell you this. It makes me kind of believe that Jesus is not coming back in 2018. Now maybe I'm wrong. But I base that on the fact that it says, no man knows. And if it was that easy to figure out, we'd all have figured it out and we'd all be sitting waiting for it and we'd all know exactly when it was going to happen. But anyway, you're coming into 2018, so assume by faith that you've got the whole year of 2018 that you're going to have to deal with. Now, I'm going to give you some things that you can use to deal with this year, because I'm telling you what, when you end the year 2018, you will not necessarily end that year with everything that God wanted for you happening. But if it isn't happening, if it doesn't work, it wasn't God's fault. It'll be ours. God has a plan for you. I quoted already this morning, he's got hope in the future. I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Now you know what your purpose is? To find out what the plans he has for you is. When you find out what his plans are for you and you put them into operation, you'll have a awesome year. Now these are some of the things that you're going to need to do. Number one, you're going to need to learn how to put this into operation. What I'm getting ready to say, you've got to put this into operation. If you're not operating in it now, or you're not operating in it as good as you should be, this is one thing that will help you in 2018. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's one thing that you're going to have the opportunity to do in 2018. And you know, God is not going to open your head up and put something in your head against your will and against your cooperation that'll make you do that. You've got to learn who you are. You've got to learn who God is. You've got to really come to an understanding of what He has done for you and what He thinks of you. There's not a single one of us in here, and there's not a single person listening to this on the internet, that God would not reach out and take you into His arms if you just came up and asked Him to. And there's some people that they don't think they're good enough to come around God. They don't think they're good enough to come before God because they really question, you know, whether I can love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And particularly whether I can love my neighbor as myself. What's so hard about that? Your neighbor's not even worse than you are. He's a human being that God created. They're just another human. They may be doing dumb stuff, but watch yourself. Write down, get you a notepad. And I'm saying this just kind of off the cuff, kind of jokingly. Get you a notepad. And keep your notepad around, and every time you do something or say something that you wouldn't want your neighbor doing or saying about you, write it down. I guarantee you by the time you get to the end of the year, you won't have a blank page of paper. You won't have a blank piece of paper. Unless you lie to yourself. Because you'll have a thought about your neighbor that you wouldn't want your neighbor thinking that about you. You'll say something about your neighbor. And when I'm talking about neighbor, I'm not talking about people living next to you. Like what Jesus said, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody that you come in contact with. But we'll stub our toe somewhere during the year. But learn to live with this attitude. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Another thing that will help you out this next year is to understand that you will, not maybe, not possibly, I can guarantee that you will have an opportunity to mention or to minister to somebody that you can lift them up simply with a smile or a word of encouragement, or might even get to preach a little sermonette to them. But that'll be up to you. But you will definitely have the opportunity in 2018, more than once, to encourage somebody else in their walk of life and in their relationship with God. You'll have that opportunity. Thirdly, you'll have an opportunity to be a light to reflect Jesus Christ wherever you go. And you don't even have to look for those opportunities. You don't even have to watch for those opportunities. When you're standing in a shopping line somewhere at some store, and the person in front of you doing everything they can to take as long as they can to get checked out, and you're in a hurry, and you can't understand why they're just fooling around. You have opportunity to step in a mud hole or to give them grace. Because, you know, people don't plan to get in your way. They don't sit at home and think, now, if I run into so-and-so, how can I make them upset today? Especially people you don't know. It's much better to give grace than it is to give judgment. Because you know how grace works. You know what grace does. Grace applies to everybody. But who made you the judge? All of us are grace givers. But not any of us have been assigned to be judges. Those three things. Now there are three things that you'll have a chance to do this year that I encourage you not to. You will have, and I guarantee that you will have some kind of an opportunity in this coming year, and it might start tomorrow. But you will have an opportunity in 2018 to worry. If you choose to worry, you will get plenty of opportunities in 2018 to worry. You don't have to sit around and say, oh, I need to find something to worry about. Can't see anything on the horizon to worry about. What am I going to do? I'm worried that I don't have any worries. Something's getting ready to happen. Something bad's getting ready to happen because everything's going too good. It's human thinking. You know what the Bible says about your worrying in 2018? There's a specific thing that the Bible says about your 2018 worrying. You know what it says? Don't do it. Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry. But you're going to have the opportunity to. But if you will take the opportunity not to, it will greatly enhance your happiness and joy in the year 2018. You can't make a New Year's resolution that you're not going to worry. You just have to decide, I'm not going to worry. And then when the worrying spirit comes around you, a demon of worry starts working on you, you got to set him down or kick him out or whatever, what kind of term you want to use. You got to get rid of him. I am not worrying. I can't make myself any taller by worrying. And I can't worry anything in. If I need a blessing, I can't worry a blessing in. So stay away from worry in 2018. It'll greatly help your year. Another thing that I'm going to tell you that you absolutely need to learn to not do in 2018 is to fear. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to fear. If nothing else, we got a lot of opportunities to fear just because of that little guy over there in that country called North Korea. I mean, he's got a one-track mind. But don't worry. God's going to take care of you. If the bomb drops on your head, he's still going to take care of you. You know, if we love the Lord, if we're in right relationship with Jesus, we're under the grace of God, and the bomb drops on our head, you know what the next minute's going to be? Better. Better. But while we're here on this life, we need to not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's what the Word of God says about it. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You want me to say that as many times as the Bible does? We'll be here a while. But it's just so hard to fear not. I never said it was easy. But see, you don't concentrate so much on not fearing as you concentrate on trusting God. Don't fight fear in place of building faith. Build your faith and the fear won't have any place to get in. Learn to trust in God. Give your whole heart to trust in God, and fear has a hard time finding a hole to get in through. Now, I'm not talking about being silly or stupid. You know, driving your car 100 miles an hour on a two-lane road and not fearing. Well, I'm not going to be afraid of it, you know. I'm not going to walk down the meanest street in some big city in the dark by myself at night, unarmed. I'm not going to do it. I don't need to be there. So why go there and be afraid all the time I'm there? But when I go home, and when I go to bed at night, I don't fear anything. I don't go to bed at night and think, oh, what if somebody's going to break in? First of all, I lay there and think, if anybody out here's got any sense at all, they're not going to break in my house. For one thing, there's not anything in my house that's worth going to prison over. If they got everything in my house, it wouldn't be worth a trip to prison. And secondly, the angels of the Lord are out there prowling around. I hear stuff at my house. I can be sitting before I go to bed at night, and Laverne's already gone to bed. She goes to bed in the middle of the afternoon. But I can be sitting in there quietly. And I hear things. Noises. A lot of times you think, well, the house is settling, you know, or especially when it's cold and there's those pops, you know, from the coldness affecting the. But it don't have to be cold. It can be the middle of summer. I just hear stuff around my house, but I'm not afraid of it because I've decided if there's anything there, it's on my side. It's not there to harm me or hurt me. It's there to protect me. And so far, I've gotten everything I believe. So don't fear. Don't worry. 365 days, isn't it? It's not a leap year, is it? 2018 is not a leap year. 365 days you've got to enjoy this next year. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Now, there may be some of those days, and you may be in some kind of situation. Your feet may be stuck in the mud, or you may have pain in your body that you're not really enjoying. But that still doesn't keep you from rejoicing and being glad. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. Amen. And just knowing that I'm a child of God overrides most everything else. If not everything else. Even though I spent nearly a month in the hospital and nearly 2 months in the hospital and rehab this past year, never any of that time that I was in there did I ever doubt that this is a day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And it was so, it's been so prevalent over the last 5 years that there have been actually been nurses that have asked to be assigned to the wing or to the unit that I was in because they enjoyed so much coming into the room where we were. I know one nurse told us, they asked her if she could work some overtime just at the last minute. Can you work some overtime? And her answer says, well, if you'll put me on the unit where the Rutherford man is, I'll work it. And it wasn't because we're such nice people. It's because of the presence of God in us. And because we allowed it to show as best we could. And sometimes I don't know what happened. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know how I was acting. I don't know what I was saying. But even in all of that, there was something down on the inside of me that was still saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. He is my salvation. He is my God. He is my Lord. Learn to think like that in 2018 and it'll improve your year a whole lot. Because you're going to be tested. You're going to be tempted. Not by God. The Bible says that God doesn't tempt anybody. But you're going to be tested. The devil's going to come to you or some demonic partner of his. Some kind of demon, and you're going to find yourself on the edge of something or maybe two steps into it. And he's going to come and he's going to tell you to give your joy away. He might not say that in so many words, but he's going to try to cause you to worry. And I'll tell you what, if you never were tempted to worry, Brad and Ashley, if you were never tempted to worry about how things are going to come out this past year, I commend you. And I almost think you're not human. But you've got to allow your faith to overcome your circumstances. You got to believe what God says and know what's going on around you. You got to believe the truth in spite of the facts. Now that may sound contradictory to some people and you may not understand that, but facts are the things that are going on. Truth is what God says about them. The fact may be that the disease is there, that the condition is there. But the truth is, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. The financial situation may be rough and the figures may be in red, but there is a God who has said, I'll supply all your needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Laverne and I, this year coming up, will be 50 years for us together. And we were talking the other day, and the conversation was something of this nature. If you look around and you consider things in the past 50 years, materially, we have not had much compared to what a lot of people have or what a lot of people think they need. I mean, comfortable? Yes. Knowing if we're going to have something to eat? Yes. Knowing if we're going to get our bills paid? Yes. Knowing all of this thing. But I mean, we have not lived in what the world would look at and say, a rich life. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't change what we have had for the past 50 years for the biggest house and the most expensive car and anything else you can add, and the biggest bank account. that you could have, I wouldn't trade it. Because we've had 50 wonderful years. Not because of material things, but because of things that we got in our heart. And we've made an effort to try to pass it on to our kids and to our grandkids. And the one thing that we've had is constant, abiding love for God and for each other. Love, what's that scripture? Love never fails, that's a good one. That's the one. Love covers a multitude of sin. And I don't mean you look the other way when somebody's doing something sinful. It just simply means that whatever a person does, if you love them enough, your love will cover it. But it also doesn't mean that you just allow yourself to stay in a situation that just grinds you down and grinds you down and grinds you down and grinds you down. Because that other person that you're in that relationship with is supposed to feel the same way about you. Especially if you're both Christians. Love is the key. God loved the world and he sent Jesus Christ. Now, we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength because of what he's done for us. Then it won't be hard for us to love our neighbors or self. There's a lot of mean people out here in the world. And they're looking for nothing but meanness to get into. There are organizations, there are groups. There are groups of people. We call them extremists, terrorists. And what they want to do is to make everybody in submission to what they believe. And they do it by force. You know, everybody needs to believe what we believe. Everybody in this world. Now think about it. If everybody believes what you believe, what would the world be like? I wish everybody believed what I believe. Except the ones that are believing better than I am now. If they're ahead of me, hey, praise God. But these people out here that are struggling, I wish they believed what I believe. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to cut anybody's head off. I don't want to go to war with somebody because they disagree with me in some kind of doctrine or theology even. Jesus didn't go to war with the Gentiles. Paul didn't go to war with the Gentiles, even though he was a Jew among all Jews. He didn't go to war with the Gentiles because they didn't believe the way the Jews believed. Why didn't he talk to them? He talked to them about the love of God. And the ones that listened to him and heard him, he helped. And the ones that didn't listen to him, and he didn't hurt them. Usually the other way around. They ended up hurting him. The only one, only group that Paul ever wanted to put in prison was Christians before his road to Damascus experience. And then after that, when he had that road to Damascus experience with Jesus, his whole life changed. And all he wanted to do from that point on, whether they liked him, whether they were, no matter how they felt about him, all he wanted to do for them was try to help them. Now, if we can get to the point where we can walk in the grace of God so much that no matter what anybody's trying to do to us, all we want to do to them is help them. And there were some places when Paul left because he wasn't getting anything done. They weren't listening to him. But he never rounded up a group and said, let's go in there and kill them all, cut their heads off because they won't submit to what we believe. Be at peace with all men. That'll help you in 2018 too. But the bottom line is this, there's a lot of options open to you. You're the one that decides. God's already made it possible for you to decide the right thing, but you've got to decide that you want to decide the right thing. If there's somebody that just gets under your skin every time you're around them, don't decide that you'd like to see them out of the way. Just decide that you're going to show the grace of God to whoever you have to, and you're going to believe God to use that grace to change them. He might use the grace to change you. But watch for the opportunities in 2018. Because you're going to have a lot of them. You're going to have 365 days of them. And how it comes out is not just the way God planned it. But the way it comes out, it's what you decide and how much you submit to His plan for you. God's got your 365 days already planned out. Now it's your responsibility to have another close enough relationship with Him to find out what those 365 day plans are. Will you get them all perfectly? I doubt it. But do the best you can. If it were a ball game, don't go into it believing you're going to lose and trying to lose. Go into it believing you're going to win and try to win. And if you win, hallelujah. And if you don't, you do better the next time. We're going to be here tonight. Brother Jim, Sister Connie, they're going to share a lot of things with you. And some of the ones that are here tonight may get a word directly from God from them. But if they don't get a hold of it and turn it into something and hold on to it and cooperate with it, it won't just automatically come to pass. You know, God called me into the ministry. God called me into the ministry before I ever agreed to it. People were telling me when I was a teenager at church, oh, you're going to be a preacher. And I'm going to think to myself, you're nuts. I'm not going to be no preacher. I'm going to the Air Force. I'm going to be a jet pilot. I finally got in agreement. And it's been a wonderful time since I've been in agreement. And I talked to Laverne, we were talking the other day. I said, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I had just fought that thing off there in Illinois and said, I'm not going into the ministry. I'm going to stay right where I am, doing right what I'm doing. Then, you know, the potential, you see, I would have been living in the big house, driving the big car. Because I was headed way up the line to State Farm Insurance. But then I said, if we'd have made the wrong choice, would we even be together? Where would we be? What would have changed in our lives? And I decided that even though all that I've been through, I wouldn't run the gamble going back and trying it a different way. No way. Even with all the things negative that I've been through, wouldn't change it. Wouldn't change it. Am I perfect? Have I done everything right? Absolutely not. But I am happy with the choice I made. And I have done the best I thought that I could do. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And I am going to finish the course. Let's stand. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to think about 2018. Some of the challenges that may come up. Some of the opportunities that may come up. Some of the things that you've been looking for that haven't happened. Will 2018 be the year? Could be. But you're going to have to cooperate with God. Just think about it, and then I'm going to pray a 2018 prayer as we start the year. Lord, you brought us through all the way through 2017. Now we stand on the precipice of 2018 with all of its hopes and its dreams, with the realities with all those hidden pitfalls. With all the paths of light. And with all of the dark paths. We have a promise that says, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I guess, Lord, you meant that your word would direct us and give us at least a vision of the next step. And we all have next steps for this coming year. All of us are going to have things we're going to have to face. But you've said we're not alone, that you're with us. You've said I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Jesus, you said I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are the answer to the problems that we're going to have to face. You are the giver of the hope that lies before us. And we just stand, Lord God, in your presence, making our commitment to you to see 2018 in the best light possible. Walking into it with the most hope available. Knowing that our relationship with you is concrete and steady. That you're never going to let us go. You're never going to cast us out. Now your grace is sufficient. Let us look to 2018 as a year of hope and victory. Let that be our motto for this year. A year of hope and victory. And that we will see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank you for blessing each one, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Now, don't forget tonight. I know it's unusual. We're usually not here on Sunday night, but tonight is the night.
Good message and encouragement.